Have you ever felt overwhelmed? How about anxious, fearful, or guilt-ridden? Have you ever felt so stressed out that you wanted to crawl into a hole? At times, we've all felt overwhelmed and controlled by the stresses of life. But through the power of the living Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you can put all of those feelings aside and listen to what Jesus has to say. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome the host of this broadcast, Christina Sasso.
Hello, this is Christina Sasso from the History with God Ministries, and I'd like to welcome all of our partners, members, friends, and first-time listeners to the Godcast. My special guest today is Cecilia Blades. Hello, Cecilia. Welcome.
Thank you, Christina. It's good to be here.
Cecilia, tell us a little bit about yourself so people can feel like they're friends with you.
Okay, I can do that for you. To some, I would be considered unlearned. I don't use a Christian title, but yet the Lord has taken me from being in a desolate place where I was suffocating spiritually to use me mightily in a number of different ways. And within my heart's passion is to awaken the spirit of others who are presently in the state that I was in.
And actually, that's kind of how we met, because you actually met Frank first at work, and then he came home with these books. So if you could describe a little bit about that, and then we'll take off from there.
Okay. As you said, I met your husband, Frank, first. He's my co-worker. After a few weeks of having conversations with Frank, I asked him if he was a born-again Christian. Of course, his response was yes. I then follow up that question with, what church do you attend? And then based on the way he responded, I believe that he may be one of millions of revolutionaries.
Okay, revolutionaries. That sounds interesting. So that's the name of the book is Revolution by George Barna. And I actually read the whole book and then went back and started highlighting stuff. And I just thought it was great. I mean, because it really spoke to me and my experiences and how I was feeling and my frustrations. So, let me ask you this. What is a revolutionary?
Okay, well, in the context of the body of Christ, a revolutionary is how George Barna identifies those Christians who want to be the church rather than just attend church. In his research, he uncovered that there are well over 20 million revolutionaries. Now, the book was written back in 2005, so this is 7 years later. So it has to be at least 27 million Christians who are considered revolutionaries.
Do we even know how many Christians? Well, is this in just the United States or is this in the whole world?
You know, the book didn't say, but I really don't know. That's a good question.
I think it's an American perspective, just from what I've read.
You're probably right.
I'd be curious to know how many, I don't know the statistics of how many Christians or people saying that they're Christian there are in the United States, but 20 million and probably more than that at this point, because that was back in 2005.
But let me share this with you.
Okay.
I just happened to come across, now I had bought the book, back in 2007, The book was written in 2005, but I purchased the book back in 2007. In June of this year, 2012, I just happened to come across a prophecy that was given by Billy Graham back in 1965. Now, as I stated, the book Revolution was based on research by George Barna. So the prophecy that Billy Graham gave, I'm going to read it to you because it's something how the Lord works.
I just think it's funny that you just happened to come across this, like, oh, really? It was just a coincidence. It was just an accident that you stumble upon this.
And as we know, with the Lord, nothing is a coincidence.
Exactly.
So nothing is a coincidence. So let me read this prophecy to you by Billy Graham. Multitudes of Christians within the church are moving toward the point where they may reject the institution that we call the church. They are beginning to turn to more simplified forms of worship. They are hungry for a personal and vital experience with Jesus Christ. They want a heartwarming personal faith. Unless the church quickly recovers its authoritative biblical message, we may witness the spectacle of millions of Christians going outside the institutional church to find spiritual food. Now, that was back in 1965 that Billy Graham gave that word. Fast forward 42 years later, George Barna writes a book based on that prophetic word. So it's just amazing how the Lord would give a man of God 42 years prior a word concerning God's people leaving the institutional church, and that he gives George Barna the assignment to write this book on that actual prophecy coming to pass.
Right. And that's over 40 years later.
Yes.
Some people, you know, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
But before we get any further, who is George Barna? Because before this book, I had never heard of him.
Okay. I came across him years ago when I was attending college. And he does research and surveys within the body of Christ. He's the founder of the Barna Group, which is a research and resource firm. He's written over 35 books. In 2005, he wrote the book entitled Revolution. And according to Mr. Barna, one of the reasons he wrote the book is for the revolutionaries to gain a better understanding of themselves. One of the things that he states in the book is that many of these revolutionaries feel like the odd person out, and they struggle with conflicting feelings about their status as spiritual champions who have no spiritual homeland.
You're singing my song.
You and me both.
I'm telling you, when I read it, I was like, I can't believe somebody actually is writing what I'm feeling. Like, really, it really was. And, you know, the way you met, and this is just God. It's a God thing. So
absolutely
awesome.
Is. Oh, yes.
But so we decided after we met, I know that your heart is for this, that this would be a great topic for a podcast. I know, Cecilia, that you have a heart for a certain outcome from this. So who is the people that you feel that this is going to target, or who you're trying to reach with this message?
Definitely. You know, as I said before, one of my heart's passions is to awaken the spirit of others who are presently in the state that I was in years back. There's two groups of people that I'm hoping to reach as a result of this podcast. A few months ago, I heard a pastor describe a group of people who are in a certain state. And I just want to read her words. Now, these are her words. They're not my words.
Okay.
Christians who are lacking or idle, unoccupied, who are so oppressed they lost their joy of living and their will so subdued that they become idle. They are at a standstill. They have motion, but they are not going anywhere. There's no progress. There's no advancement. There's no move of the spirit. They attend church every Sunday, but only as spectators. So that's the first group of people that I'm praying through this podcast would be reached. Okay, and the second group are those who I call pre-revolutionaries. They're revolutionaries yet are unaware that this is what they are. They have experienced a paradigm shift in their walk with the Lord and are now wondering what's next. So those are, you know, basically the two groups of people that I'm hoping to reach.
Well, I definitely could relate to that first person. That I just felt like I was, is this it? Come on, let's do something. I mean, that's really how I felt. Let's do something. When are we going to get to do something?
I know.
And I was just on another website, and I had read this little, I guess it was like a little story about this one younger guy. And it was just, he's Christian. He's, I believe he's fired up, but it seemed like he was a little angry because he felt like, I'm not getting what I need from the church. And and when I question things, it never seems to get addressed. And then he actually said that he was going to just join the military because he felt, you know what, at least if I join the military, I'll be doing something.
Wow.
And if I get killed, then who cares? He was point where he just was so despondent in his walk.
Right.
Because he felt like he had no place to go. At least he wanted to do something, you know, for the Lord. He wanted to have a purpose.
Right.
And he wasn't getting any idea what it was. So he figured, well, at least if I join the military, I'll be doing something positive. And if I get killed, who cares?
Oh, my.
So
That's really sad to
it
hear.
Is.
It really is sad for me to hear. I had mentioned that this particular pastor that I heard a few months ago, she talked about these particular Christians as being spectators. The thing is, it's not that they want to be spectators. Mm-hmm. I believe most Christians, they want to please the Lord, of course. Mm-hmm. And they also want to seek out their purpose. There's a lot of Christians who don't know why the Lord created them. Mm-hmm. They don't know that. And it saddens me. Some people would say that it's not the church's responsibility.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if that's true. Because when you look at Jesus' life, He's the one that sought out those who were unsaved, you know, the 12 disciples. Right. He sought them out. And it was because of Him that they discovered what their purpose was. Mm-hmm. At some point, they discovered that they were apostles. So I'm not sure if it's not the church's responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's something that I wrestle with.
My opinion right now, just off the top of my head, I would think it's a dual mm-hmm. responsibility.
Okay.
It's the responsibility of the individual
right.
to pursue God, to be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the responsibility of the church to lead and guide.
And we know that from Ephesians chapter 4, mm-hmm. where it talks about the fivefold ministry.
Chapter 4, mm-hmm. verse 11.
Okay.
And He Himself, meaning Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So on some level, I believe it is the fivefold ministry's responsibility mm-hmm. to equip the saints mm-hmm. of God for the work of the ministry.
Right.
So as with most churches, they have a discipling program. They disciple their people.
Right.
But I believe what's missing from the church is that part where they activate their people from going from disciples into whatever God has called them to be.
Yeah. Yep.
So I definitely agree with you that there's a responsibility on behalf of the person themselves. Mm-hmm. But then, and I'm not a Bible scholar, mm-hmm. but I do believe Ephesians tells us mm-hmm. that the fivefold ministry does have a responsibility to get the person there.
Right. I agree. And you know what? I would even take it a step further. If you look at the world, the unsaved.
Yes.
Isn't the whole world
yeah.
looking for their purpose?
Yes, they are.
And they think they found it in, you know, oh, I'm an artist, or oh, I'm a teacher, oh,
mm-hmm.
I'm a... But all of these gifts, which I believe those are gifts
uh-huh.
and talents,
okay.
really should be used for the kingdom. And how much more satisfaction and joy
right.
would a person get if they're doing what God gave them for His glory?
For His glory.
And I'm telling you, if people in the world knew that they could find out what their purpose was, I think we'd have people running to Jesus.
I believe it. Oh, I truly believe it.
So
I
it's not just the Christians, it's the unsaved
unsaved.
As well,
yeah.
that are always looking for their purpose. What's my purpose? What does it mean?
Right.
What does life mean? Is this it? I go to work, I come home. And...
Oh, I believe that.
Yep.
I truly believe that, Christina.
Cecilia, can you tell us a little bit about how you got to this point? You must have been searching for some reason. You must have been one of these people that felt like you were in a standstill.
I definitely was. Definitely mm-hmm. was at that point at one time. You know, I was at a point in my walk with the Lord where I just felt stuck. I was going through the motions of what we tend to believe makes a good Christian, you know, such as attending church on Sunday, every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Attending Bible study every Wednesday, attending conferences, retreats, whatever we believe a good Christian is supposed to do, that's what I did. But still feeling as though something was missing. The Lord used the book Revolution as one of the tools that the Lord used to bring about a paradigm shift in my life. And this paradigm caused my whole mentality to shift from dormancy to a hunger for more, which led to a dynamic, mind-blowing relationship with the Lord. At that point is when my walk with the Lord became intentional.
Okay, when you say intentional, elaborate on that. What does that mean to you?
Okay, when I use the word intentional, I mean believing wholeheartedly that the Lord wants to lead and guide us. And if you're going to believe that, then you're going to have a relationship with Him where you're asking Him questions mm-hmm. and then listening for an answer. But the answer has to come from Him and Him alone.
Mm-hmm.
It can't come from what we've been taught. It can't come from our soulish nature, but it has to come directly from the Lord. So when I use the word intentional, when I was at that point in my life, I asked the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do now? And when I asked Him that question...
Well, when you asked that question, that was at the point where you knew something changed.
Something changed.
Okay, so then you asked the question, All right, now I found out this great information. What now?
Yes, yes. I asked them more or less, you know, Lord, what is it that you want me to do now at this point?
Right.
And of course, he gave me the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And
right. I made sure. Why would he want to give you an answer?
Absolutely.
Of course, he wants you to have the answer.
That's the thing.
It's not a secret.
It's funny that you say it that way, but a lot of Christians don't live their life in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I found that out based on my experience.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe that God would do that, but he does.
Yes, like he's trying to keep it from us.
Right.
The last thing he'd want to do is keep it from us. It would defeat his whole purpose.
Absolutely.
Like, to get us to do what he needs us to do.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. So if you sincerely in your heart ask the Lord, and you can be very, and we should be very specific in what we're asking him. Ask him just a simple question, Lord, what do you want me to do next?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to tell you exactly what he wants you to do next.
Okay, so we can all agree that we're all at different points in our walk.
Yes.
And we're all going to approach things from a different perspective. And we can have these revelations, too, throughout our life. It's not just a one-time event. So what was the change that occurred that you felt that brought you to this point, and what was the result of it?
Okay, for me, the change was having that paradigm shift where my whole mindset changed. And I believe that every Christian who was or is in that state of mind where they feel as though they're not going anywhere, they want more of the Lord, but they're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the change came when I had that paradigm shift. And I believe the Lord would do that for every Christian who's in that state. Okay, and of course, we're at different stages of our spiritual growth. There's going to be times in our life where there would be turning points or paradigm shifts. For me, that paradigm shift was a radical change in my approach to what it actually meant to be a Christian. That's what it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me, just to help out the audience, how you'll recognize these turning points or these paradigm shifts are about to take place is that you'll develop this hunger within your soul for wanting more of the Lord.
Mm.
That hole will just be there. You'll have a hole in your soul for just wanting more of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just share with you what the effects of that hunger is. Number one, you'll start experiencing boredom in your relationship with the Lord. That's one of the effects of having that hunger. You'll start experiencing boredom in your relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you start experiencing frustration in your walk with the Lord. Now, for me personally, my frustration was being tired of hearing the same teachings over and over again, year after year. I just became frustrated with it. And of course, we know the Word of God is good.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with the Word of God.
Right. But it's a living word. You can hear it a million times.
Absolutely.
You get something different every time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the Lord used that frustration for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So number one is you start to experience boredom in your life. Number two, you begin to go through frustration. For me, like I said, it was hearing the same teachings over and over again. And then number three, you'll get to the point where you become sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then you'll cry out to the Lord in prayer. And from that prayer, the Lord will begin you on a journey to your destiny.
That sounds exciting.
It is exciting. There's nothing like it.
I know.
There's nothing
like it. You won't be bored.
No, you won't be. No, you won't be.
Wow. Well, so these are kind of like pointers. Let's say I'm someone listening and I'm like, I'm number one. I'm bored. I feel like I've heard people say I'm in a wilderness place. God's got me in the desert.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just, my worship is, and you know, the word, I'm not getting any revelations. It's just kind of rote.
Right.
I'm doing the same thing. Yeah, you know, I guess this is what it is. I've just settled into this routine.
Uh-huh.
That would be one kind of, not a warning sign, but one, uh-oh, little alarm kind of, maybe this is where you're at.
Right.
And then the second you're in a church or you're in a Bible study or a small group and you're just hearing the same teachings and they're not getting any richer. They're just staying, I've heard the same message before. Now what? Like, what do we do now with this teaching? Because I know for me, the teaching should have been something, or should be something where I'm going to now take what I learned and apply it.
Right.
When do we get to the applying part?
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
And I'm sure there's many people out there who are just tired of not experiencing all the promises that we see in the Word.
Right.
And I'm like, well, what, is it true or is it not true? You know, God says He'll give you joy, He'll give you peace, He'll give you rest, He'll give you prosperity and health and long life and And I feel like I don't have any of those things. So those would be a good... Actually, that's a kind of a... If you can get to the next space, that's a good place to be. It's almost like a jumping off spot.
It is.
You recognize, hey, I think I need to pay attention here. Something... Yes. God's going to show me something here.
Yes.
Because I don't think, personally, I don't think God puts you in the desert just to let you sit in the desert and waste away. I just, that's not the God I know and I read about. I mean.
And I believe that. I believe what you're saying. I don't believe God wants us in that place. I don't believe that was God's intention to have us in that place. As we know, God is a progressive God.
Right.
Okay.
He's always on the move.
He's always on the move. He is. It's just a matter of us really paying attention to what he's saying to us as individuals. It's funny because I could say to a person in a general manner what to do next. But of course, as you know, we're all at different levels. We're all at different places in our life.
Right.
Not everybody's journey is going to be the same.
Absolutely.
So what the Lord might say to me as far as my destiny is concerned, is it going to be the same for someone else?
Right.
So it's going to be different. But that particular person, that individual, has to get to the point where when you're in that state of mind where you're frustrated, beginning to experience boredom, or you're just getting, you know, sick and tired of being where, you know, the state that you're in, you have to move from that place and just ask the Lord a simple question. Lord, what do you want me to do next? Very simple question. And he's going to give you the answer.
Right.
You just have to listen for what the answer is. Mm-hmm. And then when you're able to discern what the answer is that you're getting from the Lord, make sure you follow that. And as you continue to do that, the Lord is going to order your steps right into your destiny, right into your purpose.
Well, I'll just tell you my own experience, what I've experienced and how what other people have said to me. Like I say, okay, so we're going to say, okay, Lord, what's next? I'm here. And I know you don't want me to stay here. What do you want me to do next? Now, I know that you have to stop and listen for the answer. That you can't just go barreling ahead and doing something that you think is the answer.
Right.
So you have to actually stop and wait to hear God's response to your question. It would be like if you were sitting with a friend and you asked them a question about your own life and then you walked away before they got a chance to give you an answer. So that... there's a responsibility to us, a challenge that, okay, you want an answer, make sure you wait to hear the answer.
I believe that. I do. And there's different schools of thought where that's concerned. I've heard people say to just go, and then the Lord will speak to you along the way. I'm not sure why the Lord made me this way, but I'm the type of person who would wait for the Lord to speak to me. Then I go. Some people might not believe that's faith. I believe it is.
Okay.
Because I'm believing, I'm hearing what he is saying, telling me exactly what to do, that I'm doing that. To me, when you do it that way, there's no delay, there's no frustration, because you're hearing God tell you what to do. You're allowing him to guide you and direct your steps. As the Bible says, you know, he orders our steps. So for me personally, I like to hear him tell me what to do. I'm not one to just go, because if I just go, it just might be me, Cecilia, directing her own way. A lot of times when I do that, I don't get anything out of the place that I end up because the Lord never told me to go there.
Right.
So for me to avoid wasting energy, wasting time, I like to just wait until I hear him speak. And I'm not saying to wait, sit at home and wait, but as far as making the wrong move, as far as, you know, really paying attention to your inner man and hearing what the Lord is saying specifically to your situation. So that's basically what I'm saying.
Right.
Not telling you to stay home from church, any of that, anything that we know not to do. I'm not telling you not to do that. But just be intentional when it comes to your relationship with the Lord, which means that you're just being aware that he does speak to us, and then just paying attention to what he's saying to you in your inner man.
Right.
And then doing that.
See, I'm going to take, not the opposing, but a different viewpoint.
Okay.
Like, I am more of like, I'm going to go.
Okay.
And you get me on the right path eventually. But I don't make any big, major moves.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to say, okay, Lord, what do you need me to do? I think I'm going to go to Africa. I'm selling everything and I'm getting on a plane. I'm going. That's not what I'm talking about. One of my pet peeves, I guess, because it's for me, it's just doesn't work that way. I've heard people say, I'm waiting on the Lord. And then I've seen them wait.
And wait
and not move or budgetage. Right. And I see years go by.
Uh-huh.
Years.
Yeah.
And they're waiting. And I'm like, that's not God. I don't think he just wants you doing nothing in the waiting.
Right.
So I do think that, yes, you should wait on the Lord for the next move. But I'm a person that I keep walking, Laura, I'm putting one foot in front of the other. I think I think I know what you want me to do. Maybe I don't know where you want me to do it or specifically how, but I'm going to move in that direction until you give me more specific information or direction. It doesn't mean, like you said, sitting on the couch and waiting for years to, I don't know what. You know, I guess it depends on how each person hears from the Lord, but I feel like some people are waiting for, like, a thunderbolt with the voice of the Lord saying, okay, now is time to do A, B, and C.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Of course, you're right. You're right.
But that comes from having a real deep relationship.
It really does. It really does.
Yeah,
and
I like the way you expressed it, because I don't, even though you're saying I like to wait until I get clear direction, it doesn't seem to me like you're going to sit and wait.
And you're right.
There's always going to be a forward motion, even though you're not sure what direction you're going. You're still waiting, but you're moving in the waiting. Do you understand
what yes, I do understand exactly what you're saying. And that's basically what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sit at home and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then wait for, like you said, a thunderbolt to hit you before you start moving. As you're going, the Lord's going to speak to you, you know.
Right.
As you're going about your daily activities or what have you, he's going to speak to you about the situation that you're in. So I guess it comes down to just being aware of the situation that you want the Lord to speak to you in and listening for God's response to that particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not staying home from church. It's not staying home from work.
Right.
But being, you know, being aware of what your situation is and then making sure that you're hearing God for that specific situation. I was at a particular church and I could sense that the Lord was getting ready to move me out. I did not stop going to that church until I knew for sure that the Lord was moving me out.
Mm-hmm.
I had to hear his voice tell me, okay, Cecilia, I'm releasing you. Now go. Is that a good example?
Yeah, because it has to do with his timing.
Right.
And you had an inner knowing.
Yes.
But you knew maybe not yet.
Right.
And then you knew when it was the time to go.
Right.
You had another knowing, okay, now I have to go.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's how the Lord orders our steps, through that knowing in your inner man.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the only solution that I could come up with is for Christians who are, you know, at this point in their life where they're bored, frustrated, or just sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, they want to discover their purpose. They want to do more for the Lord. The only thing I can share with the audience is, if you're in that state, to just ask the Lord the simple question. To me, it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You really.
Right. I agree. God likes it simple.
Yeah.
I mean, he's complex and awesome, but he's simple.
He is.
He keeps it very simple.
He really does. And that's what I found.
Yeah.
We do complicate it.
Yes,
it does not need to be complicated. It really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It really is just asking the Lord, because he's our God. He's our Father.
Mm-hmm.
He hears your cry, believe it or not. He hears your prayers. He hears your frustration. He knows your heart. So if we take the time to just ask the Lord simple questions, he's not going to keep the response from us.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to tell us exactly what we need to do, whatever that is that's within his will. He's going to tell you exactly what it is so that we might be delivered from that frustration, that boredom.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to tell us. He really is.
I actually heard Bill Johnson say, people struggle so much, and I'm paraphrasing this, but basically the essence of what he was saying was, people struggle so much. He's like, I have to hear the Lord. I have to hear the Lord. And he says, you know what? Take the pressure off you.
Mm.
It's really God's responsibility to have himself be heard to you.
Wow.
Because it's in his best interest to have you hear his voice.
Wow, it is.
So why would he deny you what he wants most of all, which is for you to hear his voice, for you to hear his direction, to have a relationship with you?
Yeah.
He's not holding back. So take the pressure off of yourself, or, oh, but I don't know if it's him or it's me or if it's the devil. Or, and take the pressure off and let him just speak to you in the way he speaks to you.
Absolutely.
And then relax. It's not burdensome. It's easy.
It doesn't have to be at all.
Right, exactly.
And for me personally, this is what I've learned as far as making sure that I'm hearing from God. There's nothing wrong with asking for confirmations. The Lord does not mind you asking Him to confirm what He's saying to you. And believe me, He's going to do it. He's going to confirm exactly what He wants you to hear. He does it every time.
And then when He confirms it, then what?
Well, then when He confirms it, then you know that you've heard from God. And then you do whatever that is.
Ah, there you go. And then you have to do what He says.
You have to do it. That's the important part, to make sure you follow through with whatever He's saying to do. That is the truly most important part. Because if you don't follow through, then you're going to be in the same state that you began in. So it's important. It's imperative that you follow through once you know it's Him speaking to you. Make sure you follow through with whatever He is telling you to do. That's so, so important.
Yes, yes.
You're going to reap the benefits, believe me.
So we would get to this point. You know who you are if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're at that point. You just ask the Lord. He wants to tell you.
He does. He's faithful.
And He'll tell you in the way that you can receive it, and feel free to ask for a confirmation. And He's going to tell you what He needs you to do to fulfill your destiny, your purpose, which is what we all crave. And then it's our responsibility, because God is a gentleman and He's not going to force you to then do what He asks us to do.
Amen.
Right?
Is that? Yes, absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely,
well,
Christina.
This message that you have is really going to speak to a lot of people.
Mm.
And also help a lot of people. To help me. I mean, the book was really an eye-opener for me. It spoke to me, like, very, very clearly.
What I found in reading the book, and I've read it through a number of times since I purchased it back in 2007, and it's funny how the Lord has led George Barna to write the book. It's a very prophetically written book. I've read the book, as I said, many times, and each time I read it, I keep finding myself in the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the book of Luke chapter 4, mm-hmm. it talks about when Jesus was given the book of Isaiah, and Jesus was able to locate Himself in the book. Luke 4:17.
4:17 says, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, "And there was handed to Him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened, unrolled the book, and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim and accept an acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. He then rolled up the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were gazing attentively at Him."
In this scripture, this is what Jesus' purposes were, right? To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's a list of what Jesus' purpose was. Of course, we know He came to die. Mm-hmm. But as far as the specific list, this is what His purpose was. So my point is, with the book of Revolution, the way the Lord has spoken to George Barna to write the book, it's written in a way where you can locate yourself in the book.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are revolutionaries and they know that they are, for those who don't even know that's what they are, if you read the book, you're going to be able to locate yourself in the book.
Yep.
I know your husband, Frank, had that experience, Christina.
Mm-hmm. I did too. We both did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
I'll tell you how I felt. When I read it, I almost felt like, oh, it's okay. I'm okay. I'm free from that old thing where you have to be in a church. You have to be in a church. You have to be in a church. If you're not in a church, you're in sin, or you're going to fall into sin. Or...
Right.
So that's what the book did for me.
Yeah.
And Frank. Like you said, we found ourselves in that book.
Right.
The description. The description of what a revolutionary is, that's what really spoke to me. I'm like, oh, that's me. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I hope this really helped somebody out there, or a number of you out there, because both our hearts' intention here, Cecilia and myself, are, I know, to free people and loosen burdens on people and and just have a real authentic experience with the Lord. We hope that we've opened the door a little bit with telling you about this book that I know helped me. Do you have any other closing remarks?
I just encourage people, if they can, to go out and get the book. You will truly be blessed by it. As Christina and myself had said, it really liberated us. It really just freed us up to really hear from God, for the Lord to start using us to move on to our destiny.
Well, let's close with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much. I just, sometimes thank you never seems like the appropriate words to express. Thank you so much for putting Cecilia in my life. She's been a blessing, and I've just met her twice. I feel like we were like old friends. But I thank you, Lord, for that family of your kingdom, Lord, the family of being a Christian, Lord, and being a follower of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that this message would bless people, Lord, that would free people, and just draw them closer to you. That is the whole purpose.
Lord.
Draw them closer to you and your purpose for their life, Lord, and how much that you love them. Thank you, Lord, again for this time and this fellowship and the ears that are hearing this, Lord. Just bless everyone that's in the sound of my voice. And we just thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ, who did it all.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hi, this is JJ, a History with God Ministries Godcast announcer. If you're interested in purchasing a copy of the book Revolution by George Barna, go to ahistorywithgod.com and click on the banner that says, Are You Revolutionary? Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.